So open up with me in your Bible to Hebrews 13. This morning I want us to think about our praise life. And what I'm talking about is how we're praising God. And we're going to discover this morning that praise was such an important part of the nation of Israel. While we have one word for praise in the Hebrew, there's actually seven words. And so I want you to think about this. Your praise life is a pretty good indicator of your spiritual condition. I want you to think about that. And so we're going to open up this morning in Hebrews chapter 13. But when we're talking about praise, we're talking about confessions of adoration, blessing, and thankfulness. Something that's coming mostly out of our mouth. What we're saying to the Lord. We're adoring Him. We're blessing Him. We're thanking Him. But we're also boasting of what God has done. We're boasting about what He is doing in our life. And sometimes we're boasting by faith in what we believe God is going to do on our behalf. Now, what we sometimes call the singing part of our service, you've heard it called praise and worship. Why are there two words? Where praise is what's coming out of our mouth, this boasting back to the Lord. Worship is a little more all-encompassing word. To me, worship is total surrender to God. It's a total yielding to God and to His will, to withhold nothing from Him. But literally, the Hebrew word for worship means to bow down with your forehead touching the ground like this. And you see that in Middle Eastern culture. I read a lot of historical novels. I like to read about kind of ancient history and kind of a fun way. And you'll see a lot of the kings, a lot of the moguls, a lot of the rulers over that part of the world. One of the things that was required is that people would worship them. And so if you came into the presence of this dignitary, this king, this monarch, this all authoritative ruler, you would have to bow down and touch your forehead to the ground. And it's just a sign that my life is completely, totally, absolutely yielded to God. But when we think about worship, it's something that we can do in the service. But worship is something bigger than singing songs. Worship is something bigger than what we do on Sunday morning. We can absolutely worship God in our work, in our home life, in our play. We can worship God, of course, in our giving, and even in our rest. Because it's a total surrender to God. The New Testament in Colossians and Ephesians encourages us that whatever we do, in word or in deed, do it heartily as unto the Lord. But we're going to focus on the word praise today. So would you honor God by standing up as we read from His word together today? Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let's pray. Father, we've come into this place, yes, to praise and to worship You, to adore You. Lord, we've come into this place to give You adoration, to give our thanks to You, to boast of what You have done in our lives, what You're doing in our lives. And Father, there's some things for many of us, probably for most of us, that we need to see changed into Your image and into Your glory. So Lord, we boast of what we believe that You're going to do on our behalf. Lord, we thank You that we can come into Your presence with great joy. And Lord, I thank You, Father God, that while You're everywhere, that there's times when we can experience Your manifest presence. Lord, we're not always aware of Your presence, but through praise, through giving thanks, through worship, Father God, we invite You into our moment. We invite you into our lives. Lord, teach us to praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Like I said, there's seven Hebrew words for praise. Some would suggest that this is a progressive list. In other words, we're starting at the lowest level of praise and working upwards. I was taught that. I just couldn't substantiate it, so I'm not going to say that's true. But it isn't interesting that there's seven words. I find that just kind of like in the Greek, there's several words for love, but in the English, there's only one word for love. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're so confused of what love is. We don't have enough language for it. We don't have enough expression for it, and so we kind of all categorize it into one thing. The other thing about it, when we're thinking about praise, if there's seven words for praise, then your favorite way isn't the only way to praise God. I hear people say a lot of times, well, here's what I like to do. Here's what I prefer. And there's a lot of I when it comes to praise and worship, as if our preference is what matters most. But if we're actually worshiping God, wouldn't it seem logical to you and to me that what God wants is what matters most? I think because we live in a Western democratic, republic mindset, we kind of attach everything in our life to our preferences, what we like, what we would vote for. But I don't know that we can always approach God that way. Come on, somebody. I said, I'm not sure that we can always approach God that way. Because if He's God, then He's bigger than our opinion. He's bigger than our preferences. And if there's seven expressions for praise, then I would say seven, all seven are appropriate, and there's probably a space in our life for all of these expressions of praise unto God. Are you following me? I'm just at a point where it seems that church is about the individual, when I think church and coming together should be about God Himself and His preferences, something bigger than my own opinion. Several years ago, while I was, still younger than I am now, I was very opinionated about a lot of things. And a lot of things mattered to me. And I would spend a great deal of time trying to convince you I was right and perhaps you were wrong. It didn't really matter to me if you were wrong. I just needed you to know I was right. Come on, somebody. But after a while, I became kind of bored with my own opinions. I became bored with everybody agreeing with me and me having to convince everybody I was right all the time. Are you following me? And later on in my life, I just want to know what God wants. And I don't need everybody to agree with me all the time. I've just been kind of bored with me. I've known me for a long time. And if you get into that mode in your life where you're just trying to please yourself all the time, one, it's impossible to do, and two, it's just kind of boring. I want to live for something bigger than me. I want to live for something bigger than my own opinion. How about let's try to please God with our life? So the first word that I want us to consider here this morning, and all of these are found in the Bible, but I'm not going to bore you with giving you an exact scripture for every word here, although they exist. The first word for praise is the word yada, Y-A-D-A-H. And it very simply means to stretch out the hands in praise. Now, when you came to Cornerstone Church for the first time, perhaps you, before you came, had not been in a church service where people raised their hands. Why do they do that? Because the Hebrew word for praise, yada, means to stretch out the hands. in worship. That's why Paul told Timothy, I would that men everywhere would lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. There's just something about me being vulnerable with my hands raised. We all know this is the international sign for surrender. Come on, if you're being held up for your money and somebody sticks a gun in front of your face and says, stick up your hands, it's so that you're defenseless. It's so that they can see what's going on with you. You are now yielded to the person that's standing before you. And there's something about raising up my hands before the Lord that says, I am completely yielded. My life is vulnerable to you. I want what you want for my life. But there's also something about just reaching our hands upward while we believe that God is everywhere. Come on, somebody. Jesus ascended back up into heaven. And they looked up and watched him going back up to his Father. And there's just something about when I stretch out my hands, I'm saying that, God, you're my supply. I'm looking to you. I want to please you. We're lifting our hands towards heaven. That's what it means to yada, and that's a very good form of praising God. The next word is the word todah, T-O-W-D-A-H. And it very simply means thanksgiving. It means to give thanks. But it doesn't mean just to give thanks for the things that we wanted. It means to give thanks. You think about this in the New Testament, in 1 Thessalonians. It says that we're to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. So I can give thanks when things are going well in my life, but I can give thanks when things are not going well in my life. Now, I don't believe that giving thanks means I'm thanking God for this horrible thing that's happening to me, but I'm giving thanks to God in the midst of this horrible thing happening to me, that God's still God. And that he's still my source, and that he's my victory, and he's the one that's going to bring me out of this. And so todah means to give thanks. But it's not a generic giving thanks, it's giving thanks specifically. Lord, I'm thanking you for my wife. I'm thanking you for my kids. I'm thanking you for my job. I'm thanking you that I have a roof over my head. I'm thanking you that I have food to eat. I'm thanking you that you're giving me wisdom. I'm thanking you, though I'm dealing with this illness, I'm thanking you, Lord, that you're my healer. Are you following me? To todah is to give thanks. And it's a form of praise. The next word is the word barak, B-A-R-A-K. And it means to kneel before the Lord. And this is such a very intimate and a yielded position before the Lord. To barak is to kneel before the Lord. It's really to bow before Him. But there's something about the word praise here. It means to praise Him silently. To be still and know that I'm God. There's just some times, I don't know, maybe in your own private time especially, but obviously it would be acceptable here in our church service. But there's just some times, but it's hard to be quiet in the church service. There's always activity going around. But there's some times where you just don't have words anymore to express what you're thinking. And there might be a place in your prayer closet, a place where you go and pray and you just enjoy the presence of God. And the psalmist said, be still and know that I am the Lord. There's some times where we praise God, but our words are not sufficient. But our body language suggests that I need you, that I'm submitted to you. This is a very weak position in life. And it's very much expressing that without you, I'm hopeless. Without you, I'm so needy. But I'm surrendered to you, and I believe that you're going to work on my behalf. And I like that position. I'll tell you, there's just sometimes when we're singing, especially when the music gets a little slower and it gets a little more intimate, it's fitting that you have some of these urges sometimes. I mean, there's just sometimes you just feel like I just really need to come. And one of the reasons that we designed the stage in such a way, I was looking at, again, at the drawings the other day, just reminding myself that this room was built to seat over 600 people. But when I looked on the plans, there wasn't steps all the way across the front here. As a matter of fact, it was more of a platform, and there was little sets of steps that you could get access to the stage on the original drawings. But one of the reasons that we brought the steps all the way across the front of the stage is to create a great deal of what we would call altar space. So in other words, if people really felt impressed that they needed to come and just bow before the Lord, that they didn't have to do so on the concrete or on the slope floor. That there was just a time where I just feel like I need to just praise God and words aren't cutting it. Come on, and being loud and being boisterous isn't what seems appropriate right now. But I just feel like I need to yield myself before the Lord. And it would be quite fitting in our service. You wouldn't be out of order at all just to come during that song service and just say, I belong to you, God, because there's a Hebrew word for that. It's called Barak. The next word is the word Zamar, Z-A-M-A-R. It means to touch the strings of an instrument. It means to praise God while playing the instruments. And so, while it doesn't describe to us necessarily what those instruments are limited to, there's just times where I just simply don't sing anymore, and I just enjoy hearing the piano play. Or I enjoy listening to John play on that electric guitar. Or there's just times because, you know, I have a son that's a drummer. I mean, I just pay attention. And if you watch Jeremy or you watch Lane or you watch one of our drummers, you can just see them in there playing their instrument and worshiping God at the same time, because there's a Hebrew word for that. It's called zamar. Are you following me with that? And I just love that. I wish I could play instruments, but I can't. But I enjoy those that do. There's an expression in just playing that instrument and worshiping God. And so you're either on one of two ends. You're either on the playing end or you're on the listening end. And I just happen to be on the listening end of that. And there's something going on in my life right now where songs are really ministering to me. A message, has its place. What I'm doing right now has its place. But there's some ministry that comes from God to me that only happens through the music. And we need to highly value that. And we need to highly value, we need to pray for those that lead us in praise and worship and play their instruments and come in early, because without them we can't fully praise God. Because one of the expressions for praise in the Hebrew is zamar. The next word is very interesting, and this is the word that may be a little unsettling to some that aren't used to this, that didn't grow up in this tradition. We didn't grow up in this tradition, but it's the word Shabak. S-H-A-B-A-C-H. It means to shout your praise to God. Now, many of us grew up in a church where church was a quiet place. It was a meditative place. It was a place, the loudest it got is when the choir, sang and it came to a crescendo. And that was as loud as church ever became. But there is a proper place in our praise life for shouting. It's a victorious shout. It's to lift up your voice with a voice of triumph. There's a Hebrew word for it, to shout. To shout our praises. That's why Chad was encouraging you earlier to shout hallelujah. Because there's something about that. There's a, if you're getting ready to go into battle, usually that begins with a shout. I mean, if it's just football, that you watch a team when they're warming up and they're starting to get boisterous, they're starting to get loud. Now I played a lot of sports growing up. There was a place and a time before the game where everybody was kind of quiet in the locker room. Everybody was kind of meditative, almost praying, or doing whatever they were doing. They were going through their plays. They were getting themselves ready. But right before that game happened, there was a young man on our team that this was not his real name. His real name was Wayne. I don't even know how I even remember that. But we only knew him as Mad Dog. Because before the game, he'd be growling, he'd be barking, he'd be howling, he'd be shouting, he's pumping himself up. And there's a place where I'm telling you, life is a struggle and life is a strain and it seems like a battle. But I need to know that my God is the one who's given me the victory, and every once in a while I just need to shout and remind myself who my God is and that we are going to win. Somebody sent me a message this week to encourage me, and they said, "Pastor, I read the end of the book," meaning they read the book of Revelation, meaning they read that the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming back, and he's coming back victoriously to rule and reign on the earth, and said, "Pastor, I want you to know that we win the victory." And I tell you what, when you win the victory, you shout. And if you're a Kansas City Royals fan, come on, somebody. The other night, I would love to have been in your television room where you were watching. I bet there was some shouting going on. Why? Your team won. There's a place where we shout because our team has won. Jesus has won the victory for us, and it's proper for us to shout our praise unto God. Amen. Now, you're the 9 o'clock crowd, so I don't want to wake you up too much, but I won't make you shout again. But we're going to sing at the end of the service here. So, the next word for praise is the word halal, H-A-L-A-L. It's the word where we get the word hallelujah. Now, this is the most interesting word for praise. It's the most predominant word for praise in the book of Psalms. Mostly when you read the word praise, it's the word halal. The word halal is very interesting because it means to celebrate. It means to boast. It means to shine. It means to make a show of it. As a matter of fact, there's one definition that says to become clamorously foolish before the Lord. And I'll just tell you, if you're not used to a more demonstrative style of praise and worship, when you come into that for the first time, I remember in our early 20s when we came amongst these crazy people that were shouting and singing and jumping around, I thought it was a little nuts, didn't you? But very appropriate if you understand the word halal, because that's what hallelujah really means. It means to make a show, to make a display, to become maybe just a little bit out of the ordinary, maybe even a little foolish. Because think about when the ark was brought back into the city of David, brought back into Zion. The Bible tells us that David stripped off his outer garments and he began to dance and praise before the Lord. Do you remember that? What's he doing? He's giving God a hallelujah. He's becoming a little bit out of the ordinary. He's celebrating before the Lord. And his wife was quite disgusted with him, if you remember that. She's quite disgusted that of this show, this open show of display. She said, you know, has the king become undignified? You know, she was kind of jealous, probably for good reason. David kind of had an eye for the ladies anyway, if you would think about it. But David said this. He said, "Isn't it right? Isn't it right that I would get emotional? The presence of God has come back into our nation, and the presence of God has been away. it's right and it's fitting that I should become a little undignified. But it was before the Lord. It was before the Lord. And if you think that I'm not going to do this, I just want you to know something, wife. I'm going to do it again. And I may even get a little more carried away next time than I did this time. Now, I'm not suggesting that we just lose our minds and just go totally stark raving crazy. But I think it might be okay to lose our mind a little bit. I think there's a proper place where we're just so grateful for what God has done in our life that it doesn't matter what the person next to me thinks about me. Now, here's where it crosses the line for me, is when people are drawing attention to themselves instead of to the Lord. I think maybe you've gone too far. But you know what? If we're all halaling together, I don't know if that's proper use of the word halal, I'm not sure we're going to pay attention to what Larry Monk may be doing back there, because I'm praising God myself. You know, we might not worry about what Pat Jones is doing over there. You know, these guys can get a little crazy. Are you following me? I just think there's a place where we don't worry about what everybody thinks about us. I just want to praise God. The last word, the seventh word, is Tehillah. T-E, I'm not a very good speller. I'm going to have to look at my stuff. T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H. And it's to sing a victorious song of praise. You see, there's a priority in praise to singing over dancing, over shouting, over clapping. You see, to follow Christ is to believe in one's heart and confess with one's mouth, and salvation comes. Our belief system, come on somebody, is a belief in our heart and a confession with our mouth. How did you get saved? I remember when my grandfather, my grandpa Kylie, was at home dying. And no one was for sure where he was with the Lord. And so I was commissioned by the family, by my uncles and by my aunts, to go talk to my grandpa to find out what his actual relationship with the Lord was. Because, you know, he really wasn't a church-going person. And so I remember almost verbatim this conversation that I had with my grandfather. I said, "Grandpa, do you believe in God?" "Yes." "Okay." I said, "Well, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son?" "Yes." "Do you believe that He lived a sinless life?" "Yes." "Do you believe that He died on the cross for your sins and my sins?" He said, "Yes, I believe that." I said, "Do you believe that He rose again from the dead?" "Yes, I believe that." "Do you believe that He's alive right now at the right hand of the Father in heaven?" "Yes, I believe that." I said, "Well, you, in essence, believe everything, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You believe that in your heart?" "Yes, I believe all those things in my heart." "And you've just confessed that with your mouth to me." I said, "Have you ever just made a decision that you're going to declare Jesus Christ to be Savior and Lord of your life?" "I'm not sure I've done that." I said, "Well, would you like to do that right now?" He said, "Yes, I'd like to do that right now." I said, "Well, do you want to pray? Or do you want me to lead you in prayer?" And you always know the answer to this. He said, "Well, why don't you pray? And then I'll just pray what you pray." I said, "Very good." And so I led him in a prayer. You know, "Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, I believe in you. I believe in you. You know, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in you." Are you following me? All right. "You know, I believe that you lived a sinless life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you were buried. I believe that you raised again on the third day. I believe that you're alive forevermore, and I want you to forgive me of my sins, and I want you to come into my life, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing all those things for me." Well, Romans says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, salvation comes. And a few days later, he died. And I believe with all my heart that I will see my grandpa again, because that's what it means to be a Christ follower. There's a priority to what comes out of our mouth in praise. While all of these other things are wonderful expressions, Hebrews 13 says that we should give praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto God. There's a priority to what comes out of our heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. And so I would say to you that your praise life is a good indication of your spiritual condition. What's coming out of your mouth? Jesus said that what's in there is coming out. And if praise and worship unto God, if giving thanks unto God is coming out of your mouth, then you're probably in good shape. But if griping and complaining and all of your worries and all of your doubts and all of your fears is what's coming out of your mouth continually, then I'm saying you're probably hurting spiritually. But let us offer continually the sacrifice of praise. Why is it called a sacrifice of praise? Because sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes you'd rather complain. Sometimes you would rather shout. Sometimes you would rather curse. Sometimes you would rather gossip. But I'm telling you, it's a sacrifice sometimes to say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I bless you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I praise you. Let us offer unto him the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks. Voltaire said this, let me control the music of the people, and I'll control the people. Rome, you remember Martin Luther broke away from the church. And he had these, I think, 23 reasons why he thought things needed to be done differently. And he began to preach these messages about living by faith, not by, you know, just works of the law. And it said that Rome feared Luther's songs more than they feared his sermons. You see, when you leave here today, you're not going to remember Todah from Barak from Zamar. But there'll probably be a song that will go out with you for the rest of the day. And that's why the song service is so important. And that's why several years ago, instead of calling it the song service or the music service, people began to call it praise and worship, because that's what it is. Because we're praising God as we lift up our hands. We're praising God as we're giving thanks. We're praising God sometimes as we kneel before Him. We're praising God as they're playing the instruments. We're praising God as we kind of make a show of it a little bit. And we're praising God primarily through the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. See, praise is the highest form of prayer, because we're not asking for anything, yet that's fitting. Isn't that fitting? Jesus said to ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. There's obviously a place for asking in prayer. In Matthew 6, Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Ask. There's nothing wrong with asking, but there's nothing wrong with just coming before the Lord without any agenda at all, without coming to Him with our needs at all, and just to praise Him for who He is, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do in our life. You see, when we're praising, we're simply fellowshipping with God, and we're putting God first place in our lives. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And it's in context in Matthew 6, where everybody else is worried about all of these things, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall clothe ourselves. And Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, and the Lord will take care of you. Don't seek after what God can do for you first. Seek first God and His kingdom, and all of these other things will be added to you. Let's close the service with Psalm 100, and I'm going to ask Chad and the worship team if they'll go ahead and come back up here, and let's close the service this morning with singing and worshiping God. Psalm 100, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Let's stand and let's sing and let's worship and praise God in this house today.